You're listening to the Gab Street Podcast, Columbus, Ohio's number one podcast for underground talent. Every week, we have new conversations with interesting individuals who contribute to the Columbus economy and its lively culture. You may find just what you're looking for right in your backyard. Let's get right into it.
That's some good coffee.
Cool, cool. We only get the best Highlander grog in this house.
You sound like such a salesperson.
Do I? I've been having to do a lot of sales lately. That explains it. Yeah. Whatever episode number this is, 88, 89, something like that. I don't remember. But I actually just started recording. Smooth, huh? Crazy. Holy shit. Things are happening. Oh my God. It's episode 80 whatever. We're here with Pete Lynch. Say what's up, man.
What's up, man?
Just dropped Flood Wall, which is his newest EP album. What would you consider it?
Call it what you want, man. Seven songs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Everything I got. Projects that I'm making.
I was listening to it on the drive down here, and I gotta say, I'm a big fan of your choice of instrumentals.
Mm.
I think those instrumentals you pick go hard. How did you go about doing that?
YouTube,
yeah.
Type beats, all
for, I feel that. Well, Dan, you must have done a lot of searching then, because you don't normally find beats like that just by chance.
Yeah,
man. I mean, like I said, I started this project over 2 years ago. So recording all the time, flipping through beats, picking and choosing, seeing what works, seeing what doesn't.
What was the biggest challenge you had to go through making this project?
I think I had writer's block for a couple months. That didn't help. The mixing and mastering process was kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
Just because I had a lot of revisions that had to happen on both ends. But at the end of the day, it all worked out. Sounds really clean, so I'm happy with it. I think it was worth it.
Did you do the engineering behind it, the auto engineering?
So I recorded it. I recorded myself. And then I went through one of my homies, Chris Conway. He mixed it. I was pretty involved with the mixing process. I would say, like I said, I had a lot of revisions. I had an idea in my head, like what I wanted. And so, he's a lot better. I mix a little, but he's a lot better.
Yeah.
A lot better than I am. So I kind of used him to get what I wanted. And then I had another one of my friends named Matt Dugan. He's out in LA right now. He mastered it. And he helped me get like the levels right on all the tracks. And we worked for a while. And yeah, I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah, shout out to everybody who worked on the audio engineering portion of that. Because it does sound really clean, I think.
So, yeah.
Yeah, that's really cool.
I really liked having two sets of ears on it. Was... Well, three, I guess, was like a big, big deal.
Definitely.
I knew I didn't want like one kid mastering it and mixing it. You know what I mean? Like, I had to get it out, because by the time we were done mixing it, like, we were so burnt on it. Like, our ears were just shot on the, couldn't edit anymore. So it was like Matt really helped to get an outsider's perspective on it, you know? So yeah, shout out to them.
Cool. What is overall your ultimate goal with music? What does your ideal situation look like?
Full-time career.
Yeah.
I definitely would like to make a name for myself. Definitely want to get on the map. I got a lot of shit to say. And yeah, I just want to get it out there, man. Just see how far I can take it.
There's one message you want to get to as many people as possible right now. What is it?
Stream Flood Wall. Top to bottom, man.
Fair enough.
There's some shit in there, I'm telling you. Like, it's worth the listen.
Yeah, I think Voices stood out to me. I'm a fan of that one. It's a good song.
Sick, man. I'm glad you liked that one.
Yeah.
That was actually like the first one I ever wrote. The first verse that I recorded on the album was the Voices verse, like probably like 2 years ago, and it just sat for a long time. And then it's funny because Bill didn't put his verse on it until, like, it was like the last verse to get on the album.
So, oh, really?
Yeah, I was just sitting for a long time.
I was about to say it. That song has a lot of, like, even just apart from his feature, that song has a lot of Bill in it, personally.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that he was the last one to hop on that.
That's funny. Man, that was made before Revenant. Like,
really?
Yeah, like that was made like before Bill even like went that route. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he was definitely like, he's in the process of recording it, so it was around the same time. And I've recorded everything he's put out. Like, I recorded 99% of it, so I'm not surprised that the vibes got across there.
Yeah, and I am a huge fan of your verse in Molly in the Safe, personally.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Bill, I remember we interviewed Bill back in, like, the episode 60s range or something, and he mentioned that you don't always like to talk about Molly in the Safe because of the lyrical content. Is that true?
Nah, man. I like it. I do like the song. It's it's definitely my most popular song. I feel like most people, especially before Floodwall, most people know me like from that track.
Hmm.
It was kind of like we just made that song so quick, and I was like pretty young when I wrote that. I was probably like, I don't know, 19, 18, something like that.
Yeah.
So, but it's a good song. It's, I couldn't believe like how fast it spread. Like, people are always talking to me about that song.
Really?
Like, it's always that track.
When I was like 18, 19, I really wanted my voice to sound like your voice, but never happened.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted that deep raspy voice, but
I smoke too much.
Yeah, you gotta. I like your cadence. I think your cadence stands out.
Thanks, man. I play drums, so it kind of helps.
That makes sense. Yeah,
yeah.
A lot of my flow comes from like drum patterns.
Hell yeah.
So you said you're both in Chillicothe, or not both. You are in Chillicothe, Athens, and Columbus all pretty often.
Yeah.
How would you compare, I mean, is there a scene in Athens to be compared to, or?
There's a music scene for sure. There's not a hip hop scene, but there's definitely like a solid music scene. Like, all my favorite shows, like both like mine and ones that I've just been to, have all been Athens house parties. Like, those shows, they used to go crazy. And I had a lot. Like, it was a really good space to, like, start a music career, just because, like, the shows went so wild that it was just a lot of fun.
What's the vibe? Like, is it, like, indie, pop, rock?
I would say, like, kind of indie and grunge and, like...
Ooh, okay.
I like grunge.
I'm gonna make a mental note of that, because I might need to go to Athens to get some exposure for the music I'm working on then. That sounds like they probably like what I'm working on. Probably.
Exposure to COVID or?
Well, both. Yeah, obviously. We want that COVID.
How about COVID inspiration?
Jesus. Heaven forbid.
What are the numbers like down there? Do we know?
Bad.
You know?
Real bad.
Real bad?
Real bad.
Yeah.
They're giving out fines for parties now.
Jesus.
Honestly, I'm for that. to be honest. I don't know. I think gathering a ton of people and... Like, I feel like this is okay, three people, but gathering, like, 20 to 30 people together does not feel like a great idea right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm surprised, like, Joseph Keith threw a show at Scully's, like, 2 days ago, as of the recording of this. And, you know, all the more power to it, you know, if you can do it properly and distance it. But, like, it's tough. I don't want to go to anything right now. It's freaky.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Stay home, locked inside.
Yeah.
Athens kids love to party, man. It's hard to stop them.
Like, OU, man.
They just go.
Yeah.
OU's known for being a party school, so that completely makes sense. Yeah. what impact do you want to have on the people that are already around you and your future audience with your music?
My favorite part about music is, like, you know, that feeling that you get when you listen to a really good song, or a song that's kind of fresh, but you just learned all the words and it just hits, and it's just like, it's not a feeling I feel like you can't really get anywhere else. So
yeah,
I feel like when I'm making music, I always have that in mind, and that's always the goal. It's like, generate that feeling in other people, or like, give them goosebumps on their arms and shit like that. So
give them those goosebumps every time.
Every time.
When it comes to that feeling, does the visual side of things play a role? Because for some people it doesn't, but I think for me, I can get that feeling from music, but it just hits different when you got a really solid music video to go with it.
Yeah, I definitely agree. As of now, I don't have any music videos.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it's just...
it's harder.
It is, man. All I know how to do is rap.
Yeah, that's a whole other art form to learn, and it's like, you gotta learn your 16s, per se, when it comes to music videos. Whatever you could compare that to.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I had a point about that. I lost it. Let's move on to the next question, then. So, who do you look up to as an artist and as a person, then?
Artists, I definitely look up to Lil Wayne.
Okay.
He's probably my, like, biggest influence. I would say Mixtape Wayne.
Yeah.
It's like...
the GOAT.
Yeah. It's, for sure, like, you listen to those mixtapes and you listen to my music, you could definitely see, like, the influence is there. As a person, I like people like LeBron. Um, 50 Cent. I've been listening to his audiobook a lot recently.
I didn't know he had one, to be honest.
Yeah, it's really...
what's it about?
I would say it's information, knowledge, wisdom, that sort of thing. Just kind of like...
just like his life experience kind of thing?
Yeah. And also, like, lessons, shit he's learned along the way. I mean, shit, he's worth, what, like, $30 million now?
Something like that.
So, yeah. I mean, like, he kind of... it's a long book, too. I remember it was probably, like, 8-9 hours, something like that, to listen to. But, like, he's got some really, really good points in there.
Is it, like, his sort of mentality that he uses to achieve success?
Yeah.
That type of ish.
Definitely that, like, and, like, just shit he's learned, like, mistakes he's made and what he learned from them.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. Like, I've listened to it probably, like, 2.5 times by now. Like, it's just so much stuff, like, you can't get it all the first time, you know?
I feel that. I know what you mean. So, Floodwall was released under Sluggish Records, yeah?
Yeah, that's right.
Tell me about that.
Sluggish, man. I don't even... people always ask me, like, what is it? What's sluggish? What does it mean? This and that. I couldn't tell you, man. It's just... like, one day it just was, and then, like, stuck, pretty much.
Okay.
Was it just someone threw the name out, and you're like, yeah, stuck?
Well, people call me Slug in Athens a lot. They started calling me that a long time ago, and people just ran with it for the most part. But the whole sluggish thing, like, we definitely needed, like, I mean, you know, we ain't got no label or, like, anything. So it was almost, like, kind of once it came around, it was just, like, almost something to cling to, or something to claim, you know, something like that.
Yeah, I feel that.
And you do that with Bill, and is there anyone else involved right now?
I think, like, pretty much anybody who, like, I work with or even if I'm like friends with, just hang out with, I would say is kind of involved. It's almost like, I don't want to call it a collective. It's just like, you know, like
come through, you know?
Yeah. Like it's just kind of a claim, you know, like a stance.
It's more of something that you can kind of, it's something familiar for a group of people that you can put it on there. And people are like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I know what this is going to be like, yeah. Probably, you know, that makes sense.
Just kind of made it our own, you know.
What's something that you wish everyone knew about you before they talked to you? Or listened to your music?
Before they listened to my music? Damn.
Sorry, that's a hard question.
Yeah, that's a big one. I think everybody should know that behind, like, you know, if you take the music for its face value, then that's all you'll get out of it. But I think if you dig, like, deeper into it, I think there's a lot to be taken away from my music.
So you want people to know that it might take a few listens to actually process everything?
Yeah, I would definitely give it a few listens, and you know, listening to it just kind of, like I said, like face value, that's fun too, you know, you could just like enjoy it, but if you want, you could dissect it and really like get into the lyrics and what I'm talking about, and you could take a lot away from it.
Yeah, I feel like listening to your music, it comes from a real place, which you don't always get from people. I feel like you're just writing about your life experiences.
Yeah, man, for sure. Like, I'll do anything before I lie in my music. Like, that's just, that's not...
I feel that.
So many rappers be just lying for no reason. Like,
you know what's great about not lying in your music, too? It helps you remember your past in a way that most people can't. Like, you can just like go back and listen to your music from 2 years ago, and it'll bring you straight back to what you were feeling when you made that song.
You're so definitely right, for sure.
That's super true. Yeah, you know, actually, I released a song back in 2018, believe it or not, about ADHD.
Really?
Yeah, it was like,
I think I heard that one.
It was an anger song about over-medicating people with ADHD. I think it was called Scapegoat or something like that. I think that was the name of the song.
Was it on the latest project?
It's just on SoundCloud. It was a one-off.
Oh, okay.
First song I've ever released.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yep. First one.
I don't know if I've heard that one.
But when I listen to that, I go straight back to freshman year of high school.
Save your lost, be save yourself, desire leaves you empty. Can you feel what you have taken under? Is it worth regretting? Yet yes, the less that you have, the more you want it. Simple, cannot say it, we're tempted to take everything I love, turn it to ash and run. You can't tell me I can't, I guess. Truth, beauty is the sickness in disguise. I'll play the fluke, litter in the lies, until the lies become the truth. Until the lies become the truth.
Skulls for Grenades. Debut EP. October 30th. SXFXG. All streaming platforms.
Get 20% off all merch. Exclusively for Gab Street listeners. Use code GAB at our Bandcamp.
Now, save.
This episode is brought to you by Cyboggin, a rising half-human, half-robot Ohio artist bringing you a true cyberpunk experience. Cyboggin would like to share with the listeners of Gab Street his new song titled Malarkey. Here it is.
J.O., that's so nasty.
find Cybogen on Instagram and YouTube by searching CYBOGN. That spells Cybogen. Now back to the show.
Dude, this is a side note, but ADHD medication is fucked, though.
Oh, for sure.
Like, my mom's boyfriend, her kid, or his kid, is on it, and he just, like, you can see how his mood changes at the end of the day, and he's just way more volatile, and I just bet he's going through some sort of mental anguish because he's coming off of that high, yep. Like a literal meth high, and you're like, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, we're giving kids meth, bro. God damn it. Oh, sorry, that's totally random. But...
pharmaceuticals, man.
Yeah.
Nah, for real, that's real shit, though, for real. Like, people are giving kids, like, medical meth. It's very close to the same formula. You ever seen them compared?
Yeah.
You ever seen Adderall's, like, composition compared with meth?
If you take crystal meth and break it into 20 milligrams of crystal meth, you'll get physically pretty much the same high as if you ate 20 milligrams of Adderall.
Cool. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if that's, I don't know if that should be the truth.
I go on r/drugs. I know these things because of user experience.
That's like the library of Alexandria, basically. r/drugs.
When it comes to drugs, yes. You can get any sort of experience. I know what it's like to shoot up cocaine. I've never done that, but I've read stories. I'm really curious about that sort of ish.
Sounds like you need a really hot spoon.
That's yeah. What it sounds like. I mean, essentially, yes. But.
Jeez.
Well. I feel like if I shot up cocaine, I would never stop because it sounds amazing.
I'm having Morgan Harper flashbacks right now.
Dude.
Let's be real.
No, but I was serious about that. We should put acid in the White House water supply.
Okay.
Like, we need to, like, LSD in the water fountains, and then if we can find a way to, like, get a DMT bomb, just, like, you know how they would gas, like, mustard gas, but for DMT, just that in the Oval Office. Everybody leaves their body and just looks down at this world like, fuck! Fuck! What are we doing?
So, Pete, if all drugs were legal, where would you want to see them?
I'm pretty sold on this White House idea.
Yeah, man.
I'm interested.
Yeah, it's a good idea, right? Just toss you out of your body, make you realize what a dick you are, and capitalism is over, just like that.
Yeah, what do we have to lose, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean... Oh, a life sentence at Guantanamo, if we get caught.
Okay, I mean, fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, I don't want to get waterboarded for 50 years, getting food injected into my stomach.
I did not know they did that.
Yeah, dude, prisoners at Guantanamo, like, they hate it so much, they just try to starve themselves to death, and they're like, no, you're gonna fucking eat, and they take a, like, I don't know, like, Soylent mix and just pump it into their stomach to keep them alive.
That's what you feel like being my co-host?
I'm just kidding. Yeah, dude.
I was messing.
I don't know how you got that, but yes, I feel like I'm a prisoner. No, I don't want to be a prisoner at Guantanamo. That's I think that's a fair thing to say, though.
I feel like that's a pretty good standard for most people. Just not being a prisoner at Guantanamo. That's pretty good. Yeah. Like.
Sorry, I just completely derailed this conversation.
How do you feel about Gitmo?
I don't want to go either.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, hey, simple man with simple needs.
Yeah, dude.
Don't go to Gitmo.
Put that on a t-shirt. Make a million copies.
Honestly, Gab, that's the next merch. Don't go to Gitmo.
Don't go to
with
Gitmo.
With the Gab Shree logo under it. Perfect. Pete, do you see yourself as a leader?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
How so?
I don't follow anybody.
Shit. That's like the simplest way to put that. I would have never thought about that.
Yeah. A lot of us these days have... That's kind of what I was talking about. We're all individualists these days. We're all individualists.
Who do you think you lead?
Anybody around me.
Yeah?
Yeah. Most of the time. Just if you're in my vicinity, I'm usually in charge.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So you're pretty deep in with the scene in Athens then?
Somewhat.
Yeah.
Right before COVID hit, I was picking up shows a little more, and I felt like I might be on the cusp of kind of like really breaking out into that scene. Like I had done probably maybe 3 or 4 shows in a span of like a few months in Athens, and I was starting to get out there a little bit. This is way before I had ever released any music at all.
Mm-hmm. So you were throwing shows before you released music?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's tight.
I just, when I started making music, I didn't know a whole lot about making music, as most people don't when they start, so, you know, I knew that I didn't just want to release anything, so I recorded for probably like a year or 2 years before I released my first mixtape, $6 on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And that was honestly just the throwaways from Floodwall. Like, there wasn't anything else to that project other than, like, I don't think these songs make the cut, but they don't necessarily deserve to live on a hard drive.
Yeah. You know, I think I can see that influence in your music of, like, throwing shows before actually releasing music. Because I noticed on Floodwall a lot of the tracks had lyrics that would be really easy to get everyone chanting in the crowd.
Yeah.
I feel like I didn't really think about that sort of aspect of making music until I went to a show, because I didn't really go to shows like growing up. Like I made songs before I ever went to my first show, and then Corey took me to my first hip hop show, and that just changed my perspective. I was like, fuck, I need to start making shit that I can interact with the crowd like that. Like,
yeah, man. It's like, it definitely changes, especially when you perform. Like, I would do a show and be like, it definitely influences, like, what kind of music you want to make.
I think you should definitely release Free Kodak Part 1 under his name.
Under whose name?
Under Pete.
Pete?
Yeah.
Throw it under Sluggish.
Yeah. That'd be such a meme. My first song ever, I called Free Kodak Part 2 just because I wanted to fuck with people. Like,
there was no Part 1?
No Part 1.
We've been searching for it for years.
Yeah, I called it that because when I wrote it, he'd been locked up for a second time, but I just thought it'd be funny if people were like, where's Part 1? And then Corey asked me that on my first interview. He was like, where's Part 1? I was like, yes! Mission accomplished.
You know, if we ever make a Gab Street album, Part 1 has to be on there.
Alright, I'll do that, Corey, just for you.
Thank
you. Free Kodak Part 1.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Finally. Been waiting for the legend.
I put Free Kodak Part 2 on private, though, because I don't want people to hear it anymore.
Oh, really? Come on.
Yeah, man. I put Free Kodak Part 1, Part 2, Premium Trash, and one other song, I forget. Oh, yeah, an XXXTentacion remix. The Look At Me remix, because that was pretty garbage.
I actually don't remember that one.
Yeah, it was a flyover.
Okay,
yeah.
Fair enough. What's on the horizon for you, Pete?
You tell me, man.
Yeah. What are your goals for the rest of the year? Just get through it.
No.
No, we got more. No,
we gotta do better. Floodwall needs. I would like to see it get the recognition it deserves. I think that it's a hell of a project. And it's definitely got, like, its audience is out there. And I'm just trying to find them.
You know, unfortunately, I hear a great way to build your audience is TikTok, because I don't fuck with TikTok, but if you wanted to build an audience, maybe you should try to fuck with a TikTok.
Yeah, man, that's funny you say that, because just the other day, like, I worked something out and got a couple songs in front of a TikTok person who has quite a bit of a following. I'm not sure what's going to happen yet, so I don't want to speak on it too soon, but...
Yeah, fair enough.
We gave it a shot. We'll see.
Cool. I hope that works out.
Yeah, me too, man.
And if that does work out, where can people find and support you and your music?
My Instagram is the best place. That's almost like my home base, I feel like. I'm always... putting out new content... new things like that. Just right now, stream flood wall, man. Just gotta get the numbers up. Gotta get them. Gotta get a buzz going. Especially in this city, man. Like this, I feel like the album fits really nicely up here.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see you going off at Declassified.
Definitely. Yeah. I can see that too. Do you have any shout outs to make?
And shout out everybody who worked on the album. The guy had features from Chris, Benjamin Blue, Bill Schaff, Devins, Ray Ramon, Matt Dugan, he mastered it. Alex shot the album cover. Yeah, man. That's what it is.
Hell yeah.
What was it that originally made you want to be an artist? Because I remember, for me, I think it was like, I was really young, I was like 14, I saw Eminem, and I just wanted to be like Eminem, like have all the girls and like a fancy sports car and shit like that. It wasn't like for authentic like artist reasons, I just wanted to be a rich and famous person.
Yeah, I don't know, when I used to spend a lot of time by myself as a kid. Always had some earphones in, always listening to some new hip hop, like Lil Wayne, Drake at the time, like a lot of like Kanye was just coming out, like
who, old Kanye, new Kanye?
Both, man. I rock with old Kanye.
Yeah.
I like Kanye. One of my favorite shows I've been to is a Kanye show.
Where was it at?
I think it was at the Shot. It's a St. Pablo tour.
Nice.
Yeah. St. Pablo was good, man. People don't give St. Pablo enough
credit. That was a classic.
Yeah.
Man. That one was so good. And it ages so well, too. Like, you play it nowadays, and it's still just amazing.
There's some hard bangers on that album.
Yeah.
I did not give it a chance when it came out. I was very against it. And only, like... 6 months ago that I ever actually
Kanye's just ahead of his time, except for I don't know, man, the whole Jesus is King, I'm not so sure about the album, but the production is still good. It's just, it's Kanye's lyricism isn't as Kanye as I would like, but you know, he's a changing man, so I gotta respect that change.
But the movie's revolutionary.
Oh, shut the fuck up. Me and Corey saw that movie. We had no idea what to expect, but it was just like, it was like a 25 minute movie.
Yeah.
That was it.
On IMAX.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a YouTube video on IMAX.
Yeah.
Basically. It was a YouTube video of Kanye sweeping the floor after a church service for 20 minutes. And then there was like a woman holding a baby and that was it.
Yeah. But it was IMAX. It was.
Yeah, it was IMAX, and the camera was on. Like, the camera was touching the baby. It was really weird. Like, super close.
You could see the pores in the baby's skin.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
I'm sure that if I ended up...
We're probably not religious enough to get it.
Well, even non-religious, like, just sitting there and taking the time to dig into that, I'm sure there's something.
Yeah.
But I don't care enough.
Maybe there's some biblical references to, like... piece together to create a message, like a hidden message that we just don't get.
Yeah, man. But there's like a whole RPG world in that movie, bro. I'm sure there is. We could figure it out.
We did the research.
Yeah, man. We read the literature.
Yeah.
Wait, do you think that movie is just like the Bible, but with Kanye in it? Because I don't know.
I'm just waiting for Kanye to switch religions, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, he's so volatile.
Scientologist.
He's so volatile that I don't know, man. Yeah. What do you think about the whole Kanye religious thing? Are you religious?
I'm not religious.
I mean, not to hate on you if you are. I respect all religious people.
No. That's not me, man. But, I don't know. It's like some Kanye shit. Kanye's always going to do some Kanye shit.
He is.
I don't know why people are so surprised. Like,
yeah.
Right.
It's just, you know, he does his thing and he does it well.
Yeah. He is a mad genius. Whether you love him or hate him, he's done a lot. His production is so good too, man. His production is so good.
I will say that I'm personally not a fan of like the whole using like his iPhone to record his vocals.
He does.
I forgot that was a thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Sometimes I don't notice a difference, but sometimes I'm just like, you know.
What album did he do that?
A few verses on Jesus Is King were iPhone recorded. I'm pretty sure that like that song he had with Paul McCartney, like parts of it were recorded on the iPhone.
That's funny. Kanye is just in his closet, like.
I'm pretty sure Paul McCartney said that like they linked and like Paul played something and like sang a little bit and Kanye just recorded it on his phone and then they left and Paul didn't know that the song was being made and then all of a sudden it just like he was like, oh, here's this song, and like he had no idea. Like,
that's so funny.
Yeah, it's just, but it's a good song, so it's like, you know, what can you say?
Kanye is so ahead of his time. He's recording retro footage before it becomes retro.
Covert features are the new musical strategy.
Yeah, we recorded that song on Nanny Cam.
It's just like we have so much like audio technology now that's so amazing and everything can sound so good. And it's I wish all artists would get. There's always a point when, like, as an artist, you're focused on every little detail, like, making sure you have, like, the highest sound quality, like, the best production, and, like, and that sort of thing. So, I like it when artists do that, and sometimes I'm like, damn, when the artists don't do that.
I can't wait for the deepfake technology to get better so artists can release collabs that the other person didn't know was actually going on.
Yeah.
I think we should record next week's episode through a baby monitor. That's what I'm thinking.
That seems artistic AF.
I think so too.
Yeah.
It's very avant-garde.
Yeah, the listener won't understand anything, but
it's a statement though. That's the point.
Yeah.
They won't be able to hear anything. But that's like, you know, it's all up to interpretation. You know what I mean? Like, aren't we all just babies at heart? You know what I mean?
Oh,
you know, that's
God.
Just what we're trying to say here.
Oh, fuck off.
We all just babies in cribs,
you
man.
Symbolic bullshit.
I have no idea where I was going with that.
It seems
just to put that out there.
Also,
I'm totally.
If I was 14, I think I would think you were super deep, though. I think I think it's pseudo intellectual at its finest. So there's some people out there nodding their heads right now, like. Yeah, you really made a point there.
My long-term goal is to be deep for 14-year-olds.
Yeah.
In what I say.
Yeah, wouldn't that be actually kind of great to release an album specifically for 14, like, deep 14-year-olds? I just thought of that. That's hilarious. I'm gonna do that one day.
It's just all songs where you can, like, break up the lyrics like that stupid He Lied, She Believed or whatever.
Like,
you know what I'm talking about? Fucking
Spieve.
Like, have you seen that? Where they take that sentence and then they break it up into that, but it just spells Spieve?
No.
If you go the opposite way?
No. But I've seen the He Lied, She Believed
type yeah.
shit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, like, that's that whole album.
Come out with some lyrics like, man, the world's so messed up. We all need love. We all need love. The world's so messed up.
So, Pete, when's that album coming out?
What album?
When's the 14 album?
Actually, what are you working? That's my shit, bro. What are you working on now? Do you got something in the workings?
Fuck, man. I'm just
trying to promote.
Well, yeah, I'm promoting right now, but I started recording recently. I brought a track with me.
Oh shit.
If you guys are interested.
Hell yeah.
I just got the masters back like 2 days ago, I think. So it's still pretty fresh. I'm thinking I might drop it like January, February, something like that. Probably sit on it for a little bit. Let Floodwall do its thing.
So, like a little single you got cooking?
Yeah. I just got it finished. So, but yeah, man, if you want to check it out, I'm down to play it.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Once we turn this mic off.
Yes. We can, if you're interested, we can have it play during part of the episode if you want.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, man. You could even, yeah. Or just a verse of it, or whatever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, do we have anything else we want to cover? Do you have any last-minute shout-outs to make?
Oh, man, I think I hit everybody.
Yeah.
Definitely, I wanted to see what I haven't heard. Because I know we talked about before I released it that you were going to... you were gonna be looking out for that album, so I wanted to see how you felt about it.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, you asked me about it, like, right now?
Yeah, like, what do you think?
I think the instrumentals are dope. I think your voice is dope. I think, personally, you should go grimier. 100%. Like, Molly in the Safe, grimy stuff.
Molly in the Safe.
I like what you put out. I think Floodwall's dope. I think you should go way grimier. That's how I feel.
I have to keep that in mind.
Yeah?
Yeah. You do have a perfect voice for some raspy, grimy shit.
Yeah. Like real, like... I don't know, boom bap? I feel like trap boom bap mix. Grimy.
Well, you know Michi Darko.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
We'll see where my life takes me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Obviously, you don't want to be grimy if you're not actually a grimy person.
Yeah.
Your voice is great for grimy shit.
Yeah, man. We'll see. We'll see if I get there one day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Can I steal the spotlight for 1 second? I want to make a shout-out, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I always shout this boy out, but... I want to make a special shout out to my good friend Luke Chioka, because he's been getting some clout recently. One of his videos on YouTube, some mixing tutorial, got some steam, and he just passed 1,000 subscribers recently. I think he's at like 1,500 now, but yeah, Luke Chioka. That's Luke and then Chioka, Chiocca. Look him up on YouTube. If you're interested in like mixing tutorials, he's also working on a project of his own, like an EP. I think it's like hip hop related. And he released a really great instrumental recently, which is like a Spanish guitar, sort of a vibey sort of song. So yeah, check out Luke Chioka. He's blowing up.
He has made some grimy shit too. Luke? So, yeah.
He's like, what grimy
shit? I think he's made some grimy
shit. What grimy shit?
I've heard grimy shit.
Oh, no, yeah, he has. Yeah. Some, like, orchestral grimy shit, yeah.
I think Luke's somebody you want to talk to. Mm. 100%.
Actually, yeah, if you need a hip-hop producer, he doesn't really produce for, like, anybody, but Luke is really dope at production. He can do a lot of shit. He's more, like, orchestral. He wants to score movies. But he has made a song for me, an instrumental for me, back in the day. And he has hip-hop up his sleeve, he just doesn't use it that much.
It's true. So, I think we would both recommend.
Yeah. Shout out Luke Chioka.
Yep. Cool. Well, anything else either of you want to cover?
I'm cool, man.
Doing good? Yeah. Okay. Well, episode 80 whatever. Thank you for listening this week. Next week, remember, Baby Monitor, it's coming at you. I think next week we have country artist Wes Taylor on the show. So, listen up for that. We got you next Wednesday at 6 a.m., just like every Wednesday.